If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, I'll be reading verses 14, 15, and 19. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them.
What singing tonight. What an opportunity to worship God. What blessings we enjoy in being able to come together in a service like this. When you think about the story of the talents, portion of which Mike just read, what do you really think about? What comes to mind? I suppose all of us begin to think in terms of numbers. There was a 5-talent man, there was a 2-talent man, there was a 1-talent man. I'm sure we begin to think a little bit about the fact that 2 of these men did something with their talents and 1 of them did not. But have you really stopped to think about, perhaps in a little deeper way, what is involved in this story? Each story that our Lord told is an important story. You see, there is a selection process, in a sense, in the Bible. We're told that if everything Jesus did and taught had been included, really, we would be unable to stack the books in this room. He did so many things. He taught so many lessons. And surely there is a good reason for everyone that's selected to be a part of the account of his life. It's not just by accident that a story like this was told. Let's think for a few minutes about the story of the talents. In fact, I have announced the subject in the bulletin as handling the goods. In one of the versions, this verse 14 says that a master delivered his goods unto his servants. The version from which Mike read said he entrusted his property and he gave them a responsibility to handle it. If you'll just stop and think about another familiar verse, you sort of see the idea that's involved. You remember 2 Timothy 2:15, which we quote often to emphasize study, which in fact is emphasizing a personal accounting. It says that each one is to study to show himself approved unto God. And I believe it's the American Standard Version says, handling aright the word of God. Handling it in the right way. Using it in the right way. Handling the goods. It seems to me that this story is especially appropriate tonight, as so many of you who are sitting in the audience this evening are beginning a new part of your life. God has entrusted you, as he has each of the rest of us, with some talents. He has, in a sense, delivered unto us his goods, and I think in a very special way. He has delivered to you, especially you new students, his goods. And he has entrusted you with talent. He has entrusted you with these goods and has given you an opportunity that perhaps you will not appreciate as you should, for at least 4 years and maybe even a few years after that. Handling his goods. There is a little simple statement in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that says we are to be faithful as stewards. And that word steward, in a sense, means one who is handling somebody else's goods. In the second book to the Corinthians, again chapter 4, this time verse 7, he says that Jesus has left his treasure in earthen vessels. Notice the word treasure and compare it with the idea of talent or talents, remembering that the talents in Matthew 25 are not talking about our abilities as such, but talking about specific amounts of money, specific amounts of treasure, the goods that were left with these men by their master as he was going on a journey. You might also let your mind reflect back to an incident in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 30, where David made the point that the people who stayed with the stuff who took care of the baggage that was entrusted to them while others were gone in the war were to be involved in the reward just as much as those who had fought the battle. They stayed with the goods, and they took care of those goods in the right way. I like to read these stories from the Bible, and I like to read them from the standpoint, as I go down through these verses, what's in it for me? How does it apply to me? Not only is it important for you and me to come together tonight to worship God, and yes, our main purpose is worshiping God, it is also important for us to be able to leave this place tonight ready to go into the workplace tomorrow or the schoolroom, as the case may be, or at home, wherever it is, with the responsibilities that we have, and meet those in the right way with the right attitude. That's what it's about. So think with me for just a moment. Notice in the first place that the master gave a responsibility to each one of these servants. He placed a responsibility upon the shoulders of each one of these servants. He did give some more than others. He probably knew that each one of these could do a different amount or take care of a different amount that would be entrusted. But he placed a responsibility upon the shoulders of each one of those servants. I believe it's so important tonight that we realize that we have responsibilities given to all of us, and that each one of us, in a very personal way, is to understand what a responsibility means and be ready to do something about it. Folks, we live at a time when it is so easy to shirk responsibility. We like to pass the buck. We may blame it on the teacher. The teachers may blame it on the students. Or we may say the responsibility is the teachers, or the responsibility is the students. Or as younger people, we have a tendency to say, oh, dad and mother are responsible for these things. And yet dad and mother realize that the young folks need to begin to accept some responsibilities. We may take the approach of Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it. Or we may say, we'll just turn it over to God and let him take care of it, and still not really accept our own responsibilities. I think even many of the religious errors that are taught in the world today really come into this point of trying to say, I'm not responsible. Don't blame me. Blame somebody else, or let somebody else do it. In this case of the talents, the master placed a responsibility on the shoulders of each of his servants. God has done that to you and me. Christ came to this earth, selected a bride, established his church as that bride, and then after his death on the cross, in which he paid every debt that that bride could ever have in reality, he left and went back to heaven, and he entrusted his servants with his treasure. Because of the differences in capacities and abilities and maybe other factors, he very well may have entrusted more to some than he has to the rest of us. But Christ has entrusted his goods, his treasure to us. And as you and I go about Christian living today, in our worship, tomorrow, in our work, and in our studies, and in our service, we need to accept that fact that the master has given each servant a responsibility. But notice also that the master expected results. When he came back, the Bible says that the five-talent man had taken his five talents. And somehow or other, he had invested and he'd gained five other talents. He now had 10. Two-talent man had taken his two, as you well know, and somehow or other had used those to gain two other talents. They brought results. And it's not hard for anyone who's reading this passage on down through these verses to realize that the master was displeased with the one-talent man. Not because he didn't have as many talents as the two or five. Not because he may have not been as capable of investing and earning as much as these others did. Nothing indicates that that's why he was displeased. He was displeased because this man did not accept his responsibility, and therefore he had no results. It's interesting to notice that the master did not weigh the results according to the amount that had been gotten. The two-talent man received the same reward as the five-talent man. He had not brought in even half as much as the five-talent man, but he had brought results. And he had brought results according to that which he had to invest. And the master was pleased with him. Responsibility was given. Results were expected. Notice also, particularly in verse 19 that was read earlier, that there came a day of reckoning. The master returned, and he called his servants before him, his servants to whom he had given a responsibility and of whom he expected results, and asked for a report. There was a day of reckoning. Five-talent man reported. Master said, that's great. Two-talent man, that's fine. One-talent man, got a problem. Didn't have any results. But do you see, folks, that whether or not one had done well or had done nothing, that there came a day of reckoning? There came a day to give an account? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we've done, whether it's good or bad. That's exactly what happened with the three servants in the story of the talents. There came a day, whether they had done well or nothing, that they had to meet face to face with their master. Paul again at Romans 14:12 said, so then every one of us shall give an account before God. Not only shall the accounting majors give an account, but all of us shall give an account for the way we use the goods that have been entrusted to us. There will come a day of reckoning. It may be in the form of a test. God forbid that I should use such a word. In the class. It may be in the form of a review on the job. It may be in the form of meeting the problems that come up and having to deal with those, and whether or not we have used our talents and our goods to be ready to deal with that situation. But folks, a day of reckoning will come. And the great day of reckoning that matters is when we come face to face with our God. One who knows everything about us. He won't even have to ask us whether we've gained five talents or two or one or nothing. He'll know. And he will have in his accounting book, Revelation chapter 20, how we've lived our lives, what we've done and what we've not done. I'm so thankful that he will have blotted out of that book all of those mistakes we've made, that we've cleansed through the blood of Christ. And if it were not for the fact that Christ's blood is there to help us, even thinking about a day of reckoning would be more than we could face. But because Christ has died and he has made it possible for us to use his goods and with his help to produce and have results, not because of any abilities of our own or anything that we earn, but because of the opportunity that he gives us to serve with him, we do not have to be afraid of that day of reckoning. But let us understand that it's going to come. And on that day of reckoning, there will be either a reward or a retribution for each one of us. To the five-talent man, the master said, enter into the joys of the Lord. To the two-talent man, enter into the joys of the Lord. But to the one-talent man, depart from me. And even take away from him that which he had and give it to the one that knows how to handle the goods of the master. One of these days, you and I are going to hear one of those statements, in a sense, said to us. When we come to that day of reckoning and the one who has given us the responsibility to handle his goods and has left his treasure in our hands and has told us that he expects results is going to either say to us, enter in or cast him out. I suppose that may very well be the last thing, one of those two statements, the last thing that you and I will hear before the eternity begins. Enter in cast him out. And I'm not for sure there's a one of us here tonight who can begin to imagine how big the difference is between those two statements. Enter in means heaven. It means being in the presence of God for an eternity. It means being able to talk to our Savior in a way that we've never talked to Him before. We talk to Him and through Him in prayer today. But can you imagine what it will be like to be in heaven with Christ, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with the apostles, with all the great men and women who've lived down through the ages? That little statement, enter in, means all of that. Enjoying all the blessings of God for an eternity. And cast him out means having none of that. But at the same time, being in the fires and torments of hell itself for an eternity. And even if there were no fire and torment and punishment, just being away from the presence of God would be enough. And yet all of that is added. And when this master says to this servant about him, cast him out, get rid of him, I don't want him, he has not used my goods in the right way, he has not taken me seriously, he has not produced results, he's saying to us, in a sense, that's what it's going to be like if we do not give ourselves to handling the goods of God in the right way. The master gave each servant a responsibility. May God help us to look at our responsibilities tonight. The master expected results, not the same of everyone, but he expected results. And folks, he expects results from you and me. He says there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a time when the master returns and he's going to ask for a report. And based upon that report, especially that report that's in the record that God himself keeps, every servant will either receive a reward or a retribution. You see why it is so important that we understand the word responsibility? And that we accept our own responsibilities. I think, in a sense, they're opportunities, but they are responsibilities associated with living for God and doing our best. God has entrusted so much to us. Young people, your parents have entrusted so much to you and perhaps others, and God is entrusting so much to you. Responsibility that brings about results, to be ready for the day of reckoning and receive the reward and not have to receive the retribution. I think that's what Jesus was teaching in the story of the talents. And I believe if we understand that and apply it as we go about our activities tomorrow, that it can help us to be better people, more pleasing in the sight of God, and ready one of these days to meet God and hear Him say, enter in. If that day of reckoning were to be today, what would God say to you? No question He's given us the responsibility. No question He wants the right kind of results. And there's no question but that there's either the reward or the retribution. I think the real question for us tonight is, if this were the day of reckoning, what would God say to me? Folks, it's because of an important concept like this that we always take the time to remember the invitation of Christ and to encourage people to accept that invitation. We don't mention faith, repentance, confession, and baptism just to have a number of points and a list at the end of each sermon. We mention those things because that's a part of this entrusting of God's goods to us to accept His responsibility of living the Christian life. Neither do we mention prayer, confession, repentance on the part of an erring child of God, just to have something to say at the end of a lesson. The invitation of Jesus Christ is open at all times while we're alive. We believe it's an important time, a convenient time, for us to emphasize it when we're together in a service like this. But the reason for emphasizing the invitation of Christ is to be ready for that day of reckoning when it comes. And I don't think I have to emphasize to those of us that live in this community, after the tragic event of yesterday, just how soon that day could come and how important it is for us to be ready. Are you accepting the handling of the goods that God has entrusted to you in the right way? Are you producing results? Are you ready for that day of reckoning where he can say, enter into the joys of the Lord? If not, you need to come to Christ now as together we stand and sing.